All right, as usual, just like last year, I can't believe people actually come to watch me talk. Last year, it was, 10 in the morning on Sunday? And I figured, fuck, I'm hungover. Who's going to be here to watch me? And then Sunday at 4, I'm like, fuck, dude, I wanted to fly home today. Who, you know? But hey, for everybody who did come out, thanks. I really appreciate it. And just like last year and every year, you know, I've been coming to DEF CON. I fucking love this, man. So I appreciate everybody who came out. All right, so this year's talk is, you spent all that money and you still got owned. So I've been doing a lot of pen testing, and I'm going all over to all these different countries and pen testing, and I'm running up against all these different defensive things. You know, application firewalls, WAFs and IPSs and NAC solutions, and we're still giving them the beatdown, like pretty freaking bad. And then in a lot of cases, I roll out and I get into the middle of the pen test, and that shit turns into incident response. It's like, dude, you're already fucking owned. Fuck. You know, so that was kind of the topic of this. So let's do it. So who am I? Network, application pen tester dude, trainer, AKA the black guy at security conferences. Everybody who always wants to know, I'm like, dude, that's me. Yes, that's me. All right, and then how do I do my thing, man? I hack, I curse, I drink. The order changes, but it's all the same. If you know, so if you don't like people who say the word fuck, you might want to get up and leave. Okay? All right, so I always do this because, you know, it's that nostalgia, especially since I'm here at DEF CON, man. Let me take you back, all right? So this is 10 years I've been doing this DEF CON thing, man. And for me, back in the old days, man, pen testing was easy. So we would just tell the customer, hey, dude, we're security people. And the customer would be like, oh, okay. Whoa, damn. The security people are here. And then, like, we would break out our open source tools like Nessus. Who remembers when Nessus was free? Shit. So we would break out our shit, man, and it would be like, yo, they're coming in here with Nmap and Nessus and all this open source stuff. And then we would go out, hit our websites like rootshell.be, PacketStorm. Anybody? Who's with me? That's what I'm talking about, right? The good old fucking days when you would just yank down your shit, fucking compile it and be like, yo, fuck, I need these libraries from over here. And, you know, then .slash the fucking planet and just like drop shells every fucking where. So then we would like take screenshots and be like, yo, man, we gave your network the fucking beatdown. Here's the report. Right? And then after that, it was like this. Remember that shit? Remember that shit? Your network fucking sucks. Pay me. Well, today, man, everybody's a CISSP. And then, like, do you guys go through this? Like, the dude who hires you thinks he knows more than you. And, like, sometimes he actually does. But, like, fuck, why'd you hire me then? So he's like, well, you know, we're doing this, we're doing this. We've got the IDS, we got the IPS, we got the NAC, we got the WAF, we got the this, we got the that. So I'm rolling out there, and I'm like, this is some bullshit. So let me walk you through a little story. Now, anybody who does my talks knows that I always got a story. So, story. I'm pen testing this client about a year and a half ago. I get out there, and the customer's like, okay, Joe, well, you've already been auditing these subnets. Can I get you to go over to this subnet and do a VLAN ACL audit? Okay, now, have any of you ever done a VLAN ACL audit? Okay, well, you guys are smarter than me, because I had never done one. So I'm back there, I'm like, what exactly do you want me to audit? He was like, well, audit the VLANs. So, all right, I go over and I look at the config, and I'm sitting with the network admin, and they've got, for 300 users, 90 VLANs. Now, I'm having a moment. I'm like, how the fuck you got 90? I mean, you ain't even got... So I'm like, all right, cool. I'll tell you what. Let's get a little piece of paper, and I just walk from person to person. I was like, hey, man, do you need this VLAN? Yo, do you need this VLAN? How about this one? So I went through this VLAN ACL audit, and then I go through all these VLANs that aren't being used. I'm like, okay, you're not using this one, you're not using this one, you're not using this one, you're not using this one. And this is like a big, big fucking company. So we go through and we audit all these VLANs, we do some network resegregation shit, move some shit around, and now I audit one of their DMZs. Company's got four DMZs. So I audit one of the DMZs. I'm like, yo, man, these boxes, you got a couple of boxes out here that like really need some patch updates. So I go over and I tell the deputy CIO, I'm like, yo, well, you got these boxes that need to be patched. You know, you're missing some MySQL patches, you're missing some PHP patches, got a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. So they have a meeting, because everything's a fucking meeting. They have a meeting, and then one of the developers stands up and goes, oh, no, we can't patch those. Those are our development servers. And I'm like, is this shit passing the common sense test? You got your fucking dev servers in the DMZ? Like, it gets better. So I'm out there and I'm working with the client a little bit more, and I start to do my little pen test thing, and I drop a couple shells. I'm like, oh man, this network is fucked up because it's too easy to drop shells. Client says, well, how come our IDS didn't catch you? And I was like, there's an IDS? So he goes, yeah, we're being monitored by, I can't say the name because some of y'all have probably worked for him. So the company had hired another company to outsource their IDS, right? To do the management reports and all that kind of bullshit. So we go over and we go look at the box. I'm like, well, yo, man, do I have creds on the box? Mind if I just take a quick look? So they give me creds on the box. I try to log into this fucking thing, and this thing takes like fucking 2 minutes to log in over SSH. I'm like, what the fuck? So I log in, and I'm like, this bitch is slow as hell. So I run check rootkit. This motherfucker's got 4 rootkits on it. Pen testing at its finest. Okay, so what do I do when I'm up against these big companies? People are like, dude, you audit all these fucking banks, you audit all these big fucking companies. And really, I just ask Google to help me. That's it. So first thing I do is I do a bunch of quick Google dorks. I look for SQL errors. I look for remote file includes. Anything that's going to give me a quick shell. Okay? Always go for the quick shell. Go for the fucking jugular when you're on a pen test, dude. Don't do all that bitch scanning shit. Go for the fucking jugular. Okay, so I always look for SQL injection, always look for RFIs, always look for cross-site scripting. You know, try to find that stuff right away. Then after that, start trying to do your passive recon stuff. So I try to figure out, like, okay, well, what subnets do they have? Where's all their stuff located? I use this fucking unbelievable tool called Firefox. Fucking unbelievable, man. You would be amazed at what it can do. So passive recon is one of the tools that I use, something you really got to try out. I'm sure most of you guys are already using it. Definitely got to try that out. Multigo, definitely the shit. Definitely got to use that. And then the next thing I do is go look for load balancers. I run into load balancers on probably 30% of my pen tests now. It's getting real common. Okay, so biggest deal for me, figure out if the box is load balanced. Figure out if it's DNS or HTTP load balancing. Because, like I said, if you're shooting packets at it, and then, you know, the fucking load balancer is sending your packets every which way, well, it kind of makes the testing a little hard. So definitely got to figure that out first. And then once again, we have that amazing tool called Firefox that helps us find that out. So throw on live HTTP headers and make some generic requests to the web server. See if anything within the HTTP header changes. So if your first packet you send, when you get the response, it comes back and says IIS5, you send another packet to the same box, it comes back and it says IIS6, dude, it's probably load balanced. Same thing with the dig command and Netcraft. Netcraft is freaking awesome. You'll often see stuff, it'll tell you right there in it, you know, F5, big IP, and all of that. And you can also get the IP addresses of the load balancer itself. So that's been a real big deal for me when I'm pen testing. Load balancer detection is a shell script that does it. Halberd is a Python script that does the same thing. Okay, so these are some real good things to help you figure out what is the real IP of the host that you're trying to attack if it's behind a load balancer. All right, next thing I run into is IPSs. So it seems like everybody has an IPS. However, the overwhelming majority of my customers have it in IDS mode. Does anybody else have this issue where you're like begging, turn the fucking thing on, dude, let's block some traffic? Really, we'll see what happens. Okay, who's of the belief that if we block some legitimate traffic, we'll make note of it, and then we'll allow that? So fuck it, let's block all the rest of the shit. Who's with me? Okay, I'm just making sure that I'm not the only one who thinks this shit, right? So okay. So when I'm trying to figure out if I'm up against an IPS, I do some real simple things, okay? I'm a Linux guy. I'm using Windows right now, and I feel a little dirty, so please bear with me, okay? So first thing I break out is I break out curl. And you see that I go for WinNT System32 CMD.exe. Now, guys, this attack has not worked since Jesus was walking the earth. Let me inform you if you do not know. Okay? The only reason that you're doing this is you're just trying to see if something blocks your IP address or sends you reset packets to your connection. So if this thing sends you a reset packet when you ask for cmd.exe, well, it's probably an IPS. If it blocks your IP address, it's probably an IPS. It's like unbelievable deductive reasoning here, right? So some guys from purehacking.com came up with a tool that does this, active filter detection. The Aussies in the house. So they got this figured out, really good tool. I'm working on some stuff in Python to kind of change it up and enhance it a little bit. So, you know, for those of you guys who support Python, fuck Ruby. If any of you guys support Python, come holler at me. We're working on some shit. Yo, fuck Ruby. Whatever. Okay? By the way, did I mention I curse? Okay, so oftentimes I do run into IPSs. What I generally do is I just shoot, you know, for 3 or 4 IPs. So I shoot from a couple of different IPs to try and see if I get reset packets or if I get my IP blocked. So once I know I'm up against an IPS, the next thing I try to do is see if the IPS can handle SSL. So again, that's why we use Linux. Just go ahead and create an XINITD file. I call it SSL test. So you see that I open it up on port 8888, and then any data that I pipe into localhost 8888 goes into this little shell script. You see it's server SSLproxy.sh. Now here you can see my mad shell scripting capability. Look at that one-liner shell script, baby. What? So the traffic goes straight into OpenSSL and then makes the connection to the target and then sends all that same active filter detection or, you know, cmd.exe, again, trying to see if my IP gets blocked, okay? The overwhelming majority of clients that I have that do deploy an IPS and do deploy it in blocking mode do not decrypt the SSL traffic prior to it passing the IDS or IPS. So that's one of the things that I really look for. If you guys are running into that, try to get your client to spend the money. Hey man, get an SSL accelerator. Terminate the SSL in front of the IPS and then let's actually start trying to decrypt it. Okay, attack through Tor. I do this a lot. So I fire up Tor, push all my stuff through Tor and Privoxy, and then that same thing where I just push all my attacks to localhost and it pipes out through Tor, same thing. So for this one, the recommendation is get your clients to block Tor exit nodes. Okay? Most companies don't have a valid reason for needing people to connect to them through privacy. Sorry, I know we give a shit about privacy, but fucking companies don't. So tell everybody, block Tor exit nodes. That's the big thing that I'm doing with a lot of my customers. I don't have Glip proxies in here because the hangover was really affecting my ability to do slides this morning. Okay? And then the last thing that I've been running into is WAFs, Web Application Firewalls. So because I do a lot of PCI pen testing, and some genius over at the PCI Council figured that, hey, if you have a web application vulnerability and you don't want to fix it and you deploy a WAF, you are somehow now PCI compliant. For some reason, I'm pen testing a lot of WAFs now. So things with the WAFs, they're actually not that difficult to identify. Pretty much, just throw any freaking character at it, and this thing fucking gives up the bit. She's like, yo, okay, I'm a WAF. Really fucking difficult to figure out if you're attacking a host that's behind a WAF. So you send it any special character, and then the thing fucking like gives you all kinds of weird things. So if you request cmd.exe, and you get a method 501 instead of a 404, file not found, you're probably up against Apache mod security. Now, newer versions of mod have changed this. But who the fuck really upgrades their WAF, really? So I run into this a lot still. Also, another one that I run into, Actronix WebNight. You see that in the HTTP response header, it gives a response code of 9999 and no hacking. So I run into this. if you're seeing that you're not up against one, you know, just start adding things to it to see what it does and see if it gives you a 404 for a file that it should not have. You know, I request joe.exe and then I request netcat.exe, nc.exe, and I just look at the differences between them. I mean, that's it. If you send a good request that gives you a 200 okay, you send a bad request for a file that doesn't exist, and then it gives you a 404, and then all of a sudden you insert something for cross-site scripting and it gives you a completely different error, you're up against some sort of defensive mechanism. Make sense? All right, so based on that, start playing the encoding game. So if you figure that you're up against a WAF, see if this thing handles hex. See if it handles UTF-7, UTF-8, UTF-16, Base64, or mixing of them. See how it handles the multiple encodings. Most WAFs cannot handle encoding very well. Okay? Especially if you start mixing the encodings together. Okay? So it's a good way to try and see if you can get by the WAF. Okay. Good buddy of mine, Sanjo Gachi and Wendell, they wrote a tool called WAFWoof, and I started contributing to it last year. I think it's the shit, and it's in Python. So the cool thing that we're doing here is we're fingerprinting the HTTP response headers and we're identifying web application firewalls. And I fucking love it. So right now we've got a pretty good list, about 10 or 12 WAFs, and the list is getting bigger and bigger. The next thing that we're working on is called WAF Fun, where we're going to work on a tool that actually brute forces web application firewall rule sets. And it's in Python. So I'm real excited about that, guys. I really wish that we had made more progress with it, but, you know, working and drinking, it was kind of hard to get the tool done so that I could have a working demo. But hopefully, you know, the next couple of conferences and next year we'll have a working demo at WAF Fun so you can see the brute forcing WAF rule sets. I think that's going to be the shit. Okay. All right. So quick thing that I use, Gary O'Leary Steele, he wrote a tool called Unicode Fun, and it's great for, it's Ruby, I know, but... Fuck Ruby. So we're going to get that shit moved over to Python, and in my tool, it's going to be in Python. So we're putting that in Python, and we'll do the different encoding. We want to make a tool specifically for web application attacks that's going to be part of the WAFIT framework. WAFIT framework will include WAF Fun and WAF Woof, and we'll specifically be working on multiple encodings and proxy awareness so that it can jump on Tor and it can jump on GLIP proxies while it's doing all these different things. So that's really what we're looking for. Okay, we already talked about attacking websites through Tor. I talked about this a little bit last year. I don't know if anybody here works for .NET Defender or whatever fucking company makes .NET Defender. We found that their ability to defend against SQL injection, how do I articulate this? Fucking sucked. So if you throw, like right here, this is a generic cross-site scripting attack. So it says script alert XSS. And the fucking thing is like, danger, Will Robinson, danger, you. We've run into cross-site scripting. And then it gives you this big message that says, dude, we fucking blocked you. So now, here I'm trying SQL injection with no encoding at all. And .NET Defender doesn't care. So... they block some SQL injections, specific statements like the word select. This is the height of IDS and WAF technology, right? I'm going to block the word select. So if you encode it in Unicode, you walk right by it. So they decided to fix this last year, but they didn't fix any other encoding. So if you use any other encoding, you still walk by the thing. Does anybody work for this company? If you do, please holler at me like when I get off stage, because that's I don't get it, dude. Okay, and yeah, that's still me dumping the admin password hash with no encoding at all against .NET Defender. Sorry, dude. Fix your shit. Okay, so biggest things that I'm doing now, getting into the land from the web. It's getting harder. It's getting harder, but it's still possible. So. SQL Ninja, the dude Ice Surfer who wrote this tool, it's in Perl, but I'm not hating him for that, because I was a Perl monkey, but I've seen the light, that which is Python 3. I am gone. But his tool works really well. You can upload Netcat, Meterpreter, DNS Tunnel. Great support for that. So I really think that's a good project. And then he just released an upgrade not too long ago. Okay, SQL Map, especially since it's in Python, fucking rocks. Okay, it allows you to upload Interpreter Shell, and it has its own OS shell that you can fucking drop. It's freaking awesome. So you can just, you know, go right at it, and it drops to where it says OS shell, and you can just do your operating system commands, you know, ipconfig, netstat, or whatever. Or you can go straight to a Interpreter Shell. I use this a lot. Still works. Okay, all right. We have to focus on the important stuff. The important stuff is not getting caught, okay? We're officially going to title this section of the talk, Don't Be a Tiger. Okay? The goal when you're doing this is not to get caught. I don't know. Who thinks tiger's a punk? Tiger's a fucking punk. Like, okay, help me here. If I'm worth $1 billion and you're a porn star, you fucking know I'm going to have some people kill you if you talk, right? I'm just making sure, who's with me? Raise your hand if you're with me. Yeah. She ain't fucking talking. All right, so biggest things that I run into, filter evasion. You have a lot of people who try to do all types of things. So the first thing is client-side filtering. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. Did I say that this is bad? This is bad. Do not use JavaScript or VBScript or anything client-side to try to filter input to your critical application. Or if you're using a framework like J2EE where your frameworks create this JavaScript for you, you're going to have to write server-side code that checks to verify what's coming in from the client. Okay, you just got to freaking deal with it, man. Anything that's happening on the client's machine is his. So I have to do these little lessons for developers. I'm like, okay, developer, I want you to think about this. You're going to put all the security on the hacker's laptop. What do you think? Right? So, guys, don't use client-side filtering. Do not use client-side filtering. Okay? All right. Restrictive blacklist. I oftentimes run into people who now restrict special characters. Well, you can't send an equal sign, can't send a greater than sign, less than sign, or something like that. But especially with SQL syntax, you don't necessarily have to say that one equals one, because isn't one kind of like one? Two kind of like two? Rum and Coke, kind of like rum and Coke. Just a thought. So SQL injection actually does work without special characters in a lot of cases. Okay, and then the IDS. Now, how many of you have this as your mouse pad? Come on, I'm with the nerds. I'm with the nerds. I'm with the nerds. So you got to have your ASCII decimal chart, hex chart, break it out as your mouse pad, or what I just learned the other night while unbelievably drunk, drop to a shell and type man ASCII. That shit fucking worked. I was like, damn. Drop to a shell and type man ASCII and the shit is right there? Fuck, dude, that's cool. So, when dealing with the IDS, okay, so we've got alert, TCP, any IP coming from any port, going to our web servers on our web server ports. We're looking for specifically tick or one equals one, okay? How many hackers are we really going to catch with this one? So let's think about it. Does 2 equal 2? 40 ounce equal 40 ounce? Huh? Most definitions of. Okay, so a lot of what I'm running into, when you actually take the time to sit down and read a lot of these IDS rules, you're like, good God, man. So yes, this is my opinion of IDS. Okay, and you're starting to see that it really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, as people do like this and or, and they're looking for still 1 equals 1 or 9 equals 9 or, you know, anything like that, you're going to find that, man, it's just it's a losing cause. And thank God, SQL Map does all this obfuscation that I'm showing you up here by default, and it's in Python. Okay, so the same thing that I'm showing you here where I did my OR2 and select user, where in this case I put the entire thing in hex. Okay, you can do this in Unicode, you can do it in UTF-7, UTF-8, UTF-16, all these different, you know, encodings, it doesn't matter. Base64, it doesn't matter. Okay, this stuff works. It works at getting by a lot of IDSs and WASPs. Okay, last thing. The one product in the PHP space that I think is absolutely the shit is PHP IDS. I think it's fucking cool as shit. Now, they've got something on their website, so if you go to demo.phpids.net, they've got a smoke test, where with the smoke test, you can put in all of your SQL injection, cross-site scripting, or web application attacks, and it shows you what signatures it flags. So you can keep practicing your kung fu right here, like, okay, well, I tried it this way, it got flagged. I tried it this way, the number of signatures it flagged was less, and you just keep working and keep working and keep working until that bad boy finally tells you, it's good. Okay, that's what you gotta do. So you just keep working on your kung fu and working on your kung fu until you find something that's gonna bypass most of the rules. Now, Mod Security has teamed up with PHP IDS, and they've got their own smoke test. And again, I was a little hungover, so I didn't add it to my slides. But they've got their own smoke test where it actually loads the Mod Security CRS core rule set and PHP IDS and snort rules all in one web interface. So you just keep throwing it in there until it bypasses all of those and fucking smooth sailing. All right, so signature IDS, fucking joke. IPS and WAF, it's a fucking joke. And then at least what I'm running into, I don't really have clients who really look at it anyway. So they bought it, but looking at it, that's a different story. Now, for those of you who are IDS analysts and WAF people, where you actually man the thing all fucking day, I know I talk a lot of shit, but I feel your pain because I used to do your job, and there's not enough alcohol in the world for the job that you do. All right, so right now, the overwhelming majority of stuff that I'm doing is what I just showed you, getting in through the web. So like I said, you deal with the IDS, you deal with the IPS, and then pretty much it's web shit. Remote file include, WAR file upload. Who's been giving JBoss the beatdown with the WAR file upload? That shit fucking rocks. So WAR file uploads with JBoss, SQL injection, just encoding some sort of way so that I can get into it. That usually gives me a shell either in the LAN or in the DMZ, and I try to work from there. After that, I do the unbelievable thing and send the client email, because it fucking works. So I send the client email, you know, client side with Metasploit, it's beautiful. So you just choose whatever the latest browser, PDF, ActiveX, or file format exploit is. Make sure it's a reverse TCP shell. And now Metasploit has reverse HTTPS. Freaking beautiful. The only bad thing about it is it's fucking written in Ruby. Okay, so a Python tool is set. So to me, set is some next level shit. I think, man, Relic is doing some unbelievable shit with set. So guys, for me, round of applause to Relic. This is what we need. This is what we need so that we can illustrate the point of what's going on. The hacker community does not port scan your networks anymore. And if they are port scanning your networks, those are fucking busters anyway. They're probably not going to get a real shell. Okay? Real hackers are, you know, pushing everything with, you know, these drive-by downloads and, you know, freaking email type stuff. This is where it's going. So setting up fake websites, spear phishing, and all that kind of stuff, that's the kind of thing that we've got to get clients to understand needs to happen in your pen test. Okay? If you deal with the same client that I had who just stood up and says, Joe, well, I'm not going to pay you to tell me I need user training. Okay? No, man. No, you have to replicate the real threat. This is what hackers are doing. We have to replicate that threat. So client-side pen testing is where it needs to go. Okay, pivoting into the LAN. Well, since the overwhelming majority of my attacks are client-side after my web stuff, pivoting into the LAN is important. So Metasploit supports the pivot. If not, I have a whole cab file upload thing where I upload some cab files that have all of my executables statically compiled, so there's no install. And I just use that as my workshop to pivot into the LAN. So jump right into the LAN and start moving around from there. Next thing that I look for is common LAN security solutions. So things that I run into: no DHCP, DHCP MAC reservations, port security, and NAC. So can't get on the network. Okay, now I'm kind of tying this together. So you've pivoted into the LAN via client side, or you're on the internal assessment and you have to try and get on the LAN. So my kids taught me these because they're unbelievably ineffective. So static IP addresses, I hope you don't have a client who actually says they're going to stop people by using static IPs. So we all know, steal the MAC address, we get on, right? DHCP MAC reservations, we know that we're going to steal a valid MAC and get on the network, right? Port security, you know that we're going to steal a valid MAC and get on the network. Now, who does what I do, where you walk by and you like lift up the computer and you read the MAC address? You're like, cool. And now I go get on the network, right? Okay. NAC solutions, the biggest thing that I've been doing is look for 802.1x exceptions. Okay. Things that can't support 802.1x, like printers, copiers, CD-ROM towers, all that kind of stuff is generally excluded from the NAC solution and voice over IP phones. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So for me, that really works with getting by this stuff. Voice over IP is, to me, the best. I'm running into a lot of clients, especially since I used to work for a switching company. I'm running into a lot of clients who use automatic provisioning where they plug in a VoIP phone and then based on the MAC address and VLAN tag, they automatically migrate the phone into the voice VLAN. So you can make your Linux box look like a voice over IP phone and get bumped into the voice VLAN. So this is great for getting past NAC solutions. And then generally, you know, since most of your clients, all of your phones need to talk to the call manager, you can talk straight into the internal DMZ where all the servers are because the call manager's right with all the other servers. It works beautifully. Okay, there's a tool called VoIP Hopper that automates this. So if you guys are liking that, just jump right on VoIP Hopper, voiphopper.sourceforge.net, jump you right into the LAN. All right, once I'm on the LAN, things that I generally do, I need to figure out who's the domain admin. Remember, we go for the fucking jugular, right? Figure out who's the domain admin. So that's what all these net commands are. So see my environment variables, that's what the set's for. And then do the net view domain, net user, net local groups. Figure out who's in what groups within the network so that we can try to attack his machine. Now, if we're able to get local admin or local system, that's even better, because the next thing that I do is I look around the network for that specific user on that machine. So you just script all these different things to look around the network to figure out where that domain admin's box is, especially if you've already got local admin or local system. So you find where his box is and then jump on his box. Once you jump on his box, you can also use PSExec shell. So once you jump on his box, that's when I start looking to escalate privileges. So escalating privileges is one of the things that I think is really hot. On Windows XP, the old at trick still works, even up through Service Pack 3. Who uses that? @interactive_cmd. Beautiful. So that works, and I ran into this on a bank pen test. So you're seeing that I had to kill McAfee. I had to turn off the HIPS, turn off intercept agent, turn off Fire PM, and then I had to use all this PS kill to unhook all of this other stuff that's running. Last thing that I didn't get on my slide, someone asked me about, because they were like, well, when you do that with McAfee, the first thing you need to do is escalate to system, right? Same thing works for Symantec endpoint protection. You have to escalate to system so that you can start trying to kill all this stuff off. So you kill all this stuff off, and after a while, it restarts. So you'll have to unhook the DLLs that are in memory to stop that. Okay, and I didn't put that in my slide, but if you holler at me later, I'll give you the syntax to do that. Okay, another trick that I just learned about McAfee was there are names of excluded files, specifically by name, not by hash or anything like that, of files that are excluded from McAfee antivirus. So they won't be protected by the buffer overflow protection and the whole bit. I thought that was freaking beautiful, man. I can't wait to use that. So holler at me if you guys want that, because I thought that was fucking sweet. Okay, so killing the HIPS S system with Metasploit, now they've got something called Git System. Fucking rocks. So you can just write on Metasploit, say Git System, and it'll pop you straight to system using one of the four methods, that name pipe, token duplication, or kitrot pod. Okay, and then the last thing that for me has just been the best is owning the domain. So as soon as I can get to the admin's box, then I'll use that token stealing and just try to take his creds. So impersonate the domain admin, and then you'll see me create a user group and add them to the domain admins group. So for me, that's been working great. Okay, defense. All right, so everything I talked about today, I've got these like one page or two page walkthroughs of how to do the attack and how to defend against it. So if you guys want that, just holler at me. I'll give you that. A lot of customers have been asking me for a lot of that kind of stuff. Just let me know. It's too easy. I'll hook you up with that. And then if you want to get in touch with me, holler at me. Okay, that's all I got. Does anybody have any questions?